Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark's City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Good morning. Good morning, St. Mark's. It's my pleasure to bring the message to you this morning on Mothering Sunday. Thank you, Sean. On Mother's Day. Thanks a million. And I know that, as has already been said, for all the positive experiences that people have on this day, that there is going to be those who find it tougher. And we want to make mention to those people. It might be those that never knew their mother, or those who would have loved to become a mother and never had the opportunity. Or maybe mothers whose kids are in a prodigal season and it's a hard time for them, or who've lost their child. And I know that my own experience of being raised by a loving, godly mother, who I feel blessed to have been raised by, isn't the experience of everybody. And so we understand that. And there may be people here this morning who've experienced quite different things with their mother. And so you might think then, I don't know if this message today is a Mother's Day message. Is this really going to be relevant to me, or is going to do anything for me? But I'm going to bring a message today that I've titled God as a Mother. And if anybody's starting to sweat or thinking about running out the door and screaming heretic, just bear with me. God as a mother. I'm not Ariana Grande, and I'm not suggesting God is a woman. So everybody take a deep breath and just keep yourself calm. So if I was going to stand here this morning and say to you, God is a man, would I be right in saying that? This is interactive. You can shout back. Would I be right in saying God is a man? No. God is not a man, and God is not a woman. He created man and women, though. Am I right on that? Yes. Amen. So would I be right in saying all good things come from God? Yes. So my next question is this, then. Do you think that God created man and put all of his positive attributes into man, and then created woman and said, well, I'll give her some different positive attributes, not that I have them myself, just something else to put in here? Do you think God did that? No, me neither. Because the scriptures tell me this. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. That's in Genesis 1:27. And the word that's used there for mankind, God created mankind, is the Hebrew word Adam. And Adam, in Strong's Biblical Concordance, which is like a dictionary for the Bible, tells us that word Adam means a human being, an individual, or the species, mankind in general, humans. And it also tells us that Adam is used throughout the Old Testament in reference to any given person. That could be male or female throughout the Old Testament. So, for example, if we go to Leviticus, because we know there's lots of rules and regulations for the Israelite people in those early books of the Bible. So we get a lot of this word Adam being used. So in Leviticus 6:3, if I read this from the King James Version, which is the closest to the original Hebrew, the version that's closest to the original Hebrew, it says this, and it's talking about sins that people commit. And it says, or have found that which was lost and lieth concerning it and sweareth falsely in any of all these things that a man doeth, sinning therein. But if we look at that verse in the NIV, it says, or if they find lost property and lie about it, or if they swear falsely about any such sin that people may commit. So it's worded they, people. And the reason the NIV is wording it that way is just to make it clear that it applies to us all, male and female. So we women can't claim the rules don't apply to us, because actually it says anything that a man doeth, because that word that's used for man, Adam, is meaning mankind, humankind. And if they want to use the specific term male, it's the Hebrew word ish. Ish. I use that word sometimes, but not for male. Ish. So there's many examples of this word, Adam, being used through the Old Testament. So, for example, there was really good infection control rules in the camp of the Israelites, right? Because that was quite sensible, wasn't it? They were given rules on how to make sure disease didn't spread when there was a huge bunch of people in their tents in a tightly packed camp. You don't want disease to spread. So they were given rules on personal hygiene and how to isolate themselves. So it says when a man has an infectious scab on the body. Well, the word that's used for man there is ordon. So this applied to all humankind, the men and the women, because it wasn't like the women could say, well, the rule actually says if a man has an infectious scab, anyone could spread this potential disease. So therefore, the rule is when ordon, humankind, has an infectious scab, you're going to disinfect your home, your bedding, your clothes, you're going to wash, you're going to keep away from other people and not spread it. Sorry, so why am I bringing this up? Because I want to go back to Genesis. Genesis 1, I'm going to read 26 and 27 this time and read it from the King James Version. And God said, let us make man, ordon, in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created Adam, humankind, in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So the scriptures are telling us that we both were created in the likeness of God. So any positive attributes that we have come from God. They are positive attributes of God. I don't know if anybody here has heard of the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I've never read it, so I can't testify to it being any good, but apparently it was the highest ranked work of nonfiction of the 1990s. And it sells itself as a guide to improved communication within relationships on the premise that the problems between men and women are a result of fundamental psychological differences between the sexes. So, like, this isn't a sociology or a psychology lecture, by the way, and ultimately my opinion doesn't matter. It's not relevant. Scripture matters. But there's a suggestion really there that men and women are different. And further into that, that a father and a mother are different. And they bring different strengths to a family unit. And in Eastern medicine, they talk about masculine energy and feminine energy, and that's what we would call masculine traits and feminine traits. But they believe that humans should strive for better balance between the two, because the meaning is this: if you're all strength and toughness and competitiveness and dominance, which is what we consider masculine traits, and you've got no gentleness or sensitivity or nurturing or quietness, then, you know, you might be considered not very balanced person. I would say that's fair. Would you say that's fair as well? So equally then, if you're all very passive and very gentle and the nurturing and the quiet, would you be able to stand up for yourself or stand up for others or stand up for what's right? Is that balance? So we see traits from each list, masculine traits, feminine traits. We see traits from each list in either gender. So for example, when you see the competitiveness and the toughness of a female athlete, she is still a female. Those traits are typically seen as masculine, but she has those traits. There's famous male pediatricians. Would you believe pediatrics used to be just for the men? It was very much the realm of men. But there are men that are considered to be the founding fathers of pediatric medicine who devoted their lives to caring for children, for healing and nurturing and taking care of children. And that's what they wanted their whole lives to be about. Traits that we would describe as feminine traits. But they were there in these men. And it's hard to give examples of specific people because I don't want to sound like I'm endorsing any various individual beliefs or actions. But there have been many female political leaders in history who've led their countries through war. They've been tough and hard and they've led their countries through war. These would be seen as masculine traits again. And also we've had men in historical male figures who have been kind and gentle and quiet, caring, nurturing types of men. Because what I've said here is that any positive attributes that we have are a reflection of those attributes from God. That seems fair to say, doesn't it? So anyway, you haven't accidentally walked into a gender studies lecture, Trinity. That's just across the road. So somebody might give me a job in there after this. Anyway, this is just laying the groundwork for the title that I mentioned, God as a Mother. Because we mention God the Father all the time. We pray to him as God the Father, Heavenly Father. And I'm not suggesting that that's wrong for a second. Not for a second. But what I'm putting to you today is that God is also our mother. I put it in inverted commas. So to put this better, God is the complete package, the perfect genderless parent. If the positive attributes of both a mother and a father come from God, and we're both made in his image, then it can only be so. Does that make sense? Yeah. So why do I think it's important to bring this up? Well, here's the thing. Having not been raised Catholic or in a Catholic country, something that I found fascinating when I moved to Ireland was the adoration and worship of Mary. And, you know, there are priests, Marian priests, that consecrate their lives to Mary. And even my own daughter's school uniform says Maria Regina Angelorum, Mary Queen of Angels on it. And it's not just Catholicism. This isn't to have a pop at Catholicism at all. This is across the world through human history. There's been a desperation to connect with a great mother figure. We see it all over history. The Greeks had Demeter, the mother goddess, and the earth goddess Gaia. And the Romans copied the Greeks with all their gods and gave them their own names, and they had Ceres. The Egyptians had Isis. Hindus had Parvati. And the Celts here in Ireland, who were pagans that followed a pagan pre-Christian religion, had Bridget. And we now have a bank holiday, so thanks for that, Bridget. She was a goddess of pre-Christian Ireland, who was a member of the Tuatha De Danann. I'm probably saying that wrong. She was transformed by the church into Saint Bridget at about 453 CE. So to allow the pagans to keep their festivals and cling on to stuff that they held dearly to, they renamed them Christian saints. And to this day, one of her most common names in Old Gaelic is, I'm going to say this wrong, Mumy Christ, foster mother of Christ. And she's still celebrated to this day by pagans, modern pagans who celebrate Imbolc in the Celtic world. And what I'm saying is there is a desperation throughout human history to find the mother in the divine. One way or the other, humans find a way because they recognize there is a need to connect with the mother in the divine. So if they can't seem to find that in God, there'll be some other way to find the mother in the divine in this balance. And I want to say to you this morning, look no further, because God is the complete package. Our God is the complete package. So whether you're a good mother, whether you're a mother who wishes she was better, whether you've had a toxic relationship with your mother, or maybe you're a man that never had a good relationship with his mother, and maybe you don't have children, so you don't have a mother figure in that sense in your life either. But there's a message for you in this today, because we do need some of that mother energy. We do. We need some of that mother energy, and our God is the complete package. So to recall Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness. Seems a bit odd maybe to say our, but God is literally talking as the Holy Trinity, and we definitely don't have time to get our heads wrapped around that this morning. But God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and the Bible tells us in the beginning, there was God. And the Bible tells us, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you'll see through the New Testament that Jesus is the Word. And the Holy Spirit, it says, and the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh, the breath of God, hovered over the deep, over the darkness. So when God says, let us make humankind in our image, after our likeness, it is the Holy Trinity making humans just like God, in the image of God, not just like. So I don't know if any of you know the book, The Shack. I know it was also a film. I prefer the book myself. Now, you might love it, you might hate it, you might disagree with it because it's a work of fiction and it's not the Bible, it's not scripture. But yeah, personally, I loved the book. I have it with me because I'm going to read one little excerpt. I read it at a time when it had a huge impact on me as just a fresh revelation of God's massive, enormous love for me. And in this book, there's one thing that I love in this book, which really kind of spun me when I first read it. The main character, Mackenzie, Mac, as he's known, he goes to a cabin, to a shack for a weekend, and he meets the Holy Trinity. He spends the weekend with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, appearing in human form for him for this weekend. And God appears to Mac in this book as, quote, a large, beaming African-American woman, She loves to hug and cook and nurture and is all Southern hospitality. And it's a head spin when you've never thought of God as anything but, you know, an old, huge white man. So I'll just read this excerpt from the book where Mac has just started the conversation with God. She picked up the wooden spoon again, dripping with some sort of batter. Mackenzie, I'm neither male nor female, even though both genders are derived from my nature. If I choose to appear to you as a man or a woman, it's because I love you. For me to appear to you as a woman and suggest that you call me Papa is simply to mix metaphors to help keep you from falling so easily back into your religious conditioning. She leaned forward as if to share a secret. To reveal myself to you as a very large white grandfather figure with flowing beard like Gandalf would simply reinforce your religious stereotypes. And this weekend is not about reinforcing religious stereotypes. And it's just, to me, a lovely picture, an idea that was the first time that I had really thought to myself, you know what, yeah, we've put God in a box and we've decided this is God. But really and truly, if we both are made in the image of God, in God's likeness, then there's something of God that there, that God is not man or woman or just male or just female. That love, that perfect stuff that can come from your dad, your father figure, your mother figure, comes from God. So let's look at scripture and say, what do we think of the positive traits of a mother? And do we see any of those traits in the character of God, and where? So each of my points is going to be led by a little meme, because heaven knows if you can't laugh as a mother, it's a rough ride. So here we go. We're going to keep it light to start. My first point is this. When your mom voice is so loud, even the neighbors brush their teeth and get dressed. I have a little slide there for that in case you missed that the first time. I'm not going to lie. My mom voice is that loud. I think maybe neighbors three doors each direction might have brushed their teeth when I shouted. I've got two girls over there who are probably like going, she's not even joking. She is not even joking. And in Amos 1:2, right, God is raging with his kids, the Israelites. He's so annoyed, and he's about to punish them for their continued wrongdoing. And it says, the Lord's voice will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The lush pastures of the shepherds will dry up. The grass on Mount Carmel will wither and die. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I think my mom shouty voice has a huge amount of wither and die potential. And even my husband probably say is definitely wither and die in that voice. And in Jeremiah, God again, he's mad with his kids. You've not been listening. And in Jeremiah 25:30-31, it says, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold, and he will give a shout as those who tread the grapes. Against all the inhabitants of the earth, a noise will come to the ends of the earth. So you know when you make your mom mad and you feel like that shouting voice is literally going to reach to the ends of the earth, you just need to remember we got that from God. That is a trait that we got from him. Praise the Lord. But again, you remember when your mom says, I'm disciplining you because I want to shape you into being a good person, into being considerate of others, into living a right life. And when your mom is disciplining you, saying that will help make you a decent human being, this is exactly what God is like with us. He will rebuke us when we need it out of a place of love, deep love. I love my kids beyond belief. I love them to the core of my bones and they know it. And do I also shout at them? Yes. And it doesn't change for a split second how much I love them. My love is never any less. I will put my body on the line for those kids and die for them if needed. And they know that. But I will shout when I need to rebuke them, just like Lord God does and rebukes us when we need it out of a place of deep love and correcting us to do better. My next point here is point B. My parenting style has evolved into, but did you die though? And they've definitely heard me say that. Yeah, but did you die though? You know? So we mothers, like God, we're trying to say stop finding the negative in everything. Focus on the positive. You know, did you actually die? No. Great. That is an excellent baseline. On the up from there, isn't it? Did you actually die? So I'm going to bring out some points here where God wants to constantly turn our minds to focus on the positive. Okay, look, guys, let's turn our minds and focus on the positive. I'm going to fly through a few scriptures here that do this. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's a let's frame our minds in a positive way. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Again, we're encouraged to redirect our thinking and keep practicing it. Okay, I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to keep my mind steadfast on you. You're going to keep me in perfect peace. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Again, we're encouraged to shift our perspective from negative moping about stuff because all things are going to work together for good. God's got it. Psalm 139:14, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Do you ever hear that phrase, a face only a mother can love? Yeah, us mums are going to tell you, you are so beautiful, you are so handsome, and we 100% mean that, 100% mean that. And God's whispering the same thing to us in that scripture. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, child. My works are wonderful. Perfect. I haven't made a mistake with you, child. That's what God's trying to tell us in the scripture. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And as much as us moms will say, you know what? I'm here for you. I'll help you. I'll start making that Viking ship replica at 11 o'clock at night because you forgot it has to be in tomorrow morning. And I'll get that done while you sleep. No problem. Yeah. Or yes, I'm really glad you told me that at 8 p.m. that you have to be Katniss Everdeen for World Book Day at 8:30 tomorrow morning. That's excellent. Great. I've got this. That's a mom thing. Okay, look, I'll help you. And as much as we do that, the ultimate claim is God's. We can do all things necessary because God's got our back. God's on our team and God gives us strength. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. So us moms are going to say, sit down, talk, what's up? Tell me your problems. Tell me what's wrong. But we don't need to think negatively or hang on to our anxieties. God cares for us and God will take that burden. So we're to hand it over. Habakkuk 3:17-19. I like this bit of scripture. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet and he will make me walk on my high hills. All throughout the inspired word of God in scripture, we can see examples of being encouraged to look on the bright side and not be overwhelmed by negativity in our day-to-day life. Like all of this that's going wrong here in Habakkuk. The trees are dying, the crops are failing, there's no animals, there's no food, there's no... Yeah, but did you die though? No, because God was there. God got you. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't look on the negative. It says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Everything's gone wrong, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. My next point here is not a funny one, but it's a true one. A mama bear's love is tender, but her protection is ruthless. And is true, isn't it? A mama bear, we know about mama bears. In Hosea 13:8, God says this, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. God compares himself here to a mother bear. And we've all seen nature documentaries and we know where that phrase comes from, right? A mother bear who's facing off against a much bigger male grizzly, she will be fearless in the face of that fight when it comes to protecting her cubs. She knows she doesn't really stand the chance. The male is more aggressive, he's bigger, he's stronger, but you see a mother bear, if that anything tries to get to her cubs, there is no comparison. So where we've read the verse that, you know, God can yell at us like a mom does when we keep ignoring the rules, we need to remember that God has compared himself to a mother bear. That is a fierce love. And we come under the protection of that fierce love. Romans 8, 38, 39 says, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God is not letting anything separate us from that love. Anything. So don't doubt for a minute this morning that you are anything but fiercely loved by God. And while we're on the topic of animals and their young, and this was amazing to me because Pastor Sean brought this up in the prayer meeting before the service, Deuteronomy 32, 11 to 12 says, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. God's compared here to a mother eagle fluttering over her young, taking them onto her wings. What a picture. In Matthew 23, 37, and it's the exact same account written in Luke 13, 34, says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Jesus himself is literally comparing himself here to a mother hen and wanting to gather the people, wanting to gather us under those wings. And Pastor Sean was saying in the prayer meeting, what a picture of just being like snuggled in. You're nearly hidden. The chicks nearly look hidden amongst the feathers as the mother hen pulls them in under her wings. What a lovely picture. And that's Jesus comparing himself there. And there's no issue comparing himself to a mother hen for us to gather us under those wings. And speaking of under wings, we've got the psalmist in Psalm 57, 1 saying, have mercy on me, my God, have mercy on me. For in you I take refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. And Psalm 91, 4 again says, he will cover you with his feathers and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. This is what mother birds do with their chicks. And we're getting this constant picture. We'll be covered over by those feathers. Under the wings, we'll be find refuge. We are loved and we are protected. And of that, there's absolutely no doubt in Scripture. This last point here is, if you want your child's full immediate attention, try using the bathroom alone. If you're a mom, you've either been there or you're there right now. I would say it does pass, but they still come looking. It's just they don't insist on being in there with you when they get to a certain age. But like, it's a bit tongue in cheek, but this is a post about selflessness and selfless service that you sign up for when you're a mom. And another quote then about motherhood is, the natural state of motherhood is unselfishness. When you become a mother, you are no longer the center of your own universe. You relinquish that position to your children. And that is true. Cold food, anyone? Cold coffee? There's definitely a time when you think as a mom, I'm not sure if I will ever have a coffee hot again. It does come back. You do get your hot coffee back. But there's a time, wow, when you're giving up the warmth of your food and, you know, you just sat down to a meal and you think this is going to be lovely. And then there's crying. And then there's a punami, and that comes with its own set of this has to be cleaned and fill a bucket and bath the baby. And, you know, that food is crusty and dry and cold by the time you come back to it. But you know what? You're fine with that because your baby's coming first. You're taking care of your child first. The minute your child is born, you're taking on this mantle of selflessness for them without any thought. So where have we seen God model that for us, that selflessness in giving his son? Because he loved the world so much, that massive act of selflessness so that we could be called children of God. And somebody here is going to be thinking in their head this morning, ah, yeah, but actually, Sarah, you know, is that good parenting? Because God gave his son up for death. We already touched on this in Genesis. God gave of himself because in the beginning there was God, the Trinity. God gave of himself selflessly so that we could be called children of God. In 1 John 3:1, says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And if we look again then at Jesus in John 13, when he was washing the disciples' feet, that was a job that was usually done by servants or slaves. It was the lowest of the low, menial job, getting down and washing the dirty feet of the guests. Jesus got down to teaching us their true selflessness. And he told us in that passage outrightly, embody true selflessness, be selfless. All of you treat everyone else as if you need to serve them. And when we all behave like that in a selfless way, that's when we're really hitting the gold spot. Can I call the worship team actually to come back up as we finish out, please? So we have this modeled picture of selflessness from God the Father, from Jesus teaching us in the scriptures. And I want to finish today with a verse from Isaiah. And this is God speaking. The prophet Isaiah is recording God speaking here. And Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. God is literally comparing himself there directly to the heart of a mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. I know what a mother, her desperate need to comfort her child is like, and that's what I'm doing for you, God's saying. And I don't know about any other mothers here. Do you ever feel so heartbroken for your child where maybe they're in a lot of pain and they're suffering so much and you're praying, God, take it away from them. Give it to me. Take it from them and put it on me. And if that's the depths at which a mother, a created being, wants to comfort her child, just imagine how much more God wants to love on us, comfort us, nurture us, take care of us. God, who put those traits, that energy into us mothers in the first place, that's a God spirit. That's God's heart for his kids. So how much more would God want that for us, to take stuff away, to heal us, to capture us and hold us and keep us safe? So maybe this morning you just need to know that God has that kind of love and care for you, and you've never thought about God in that way before. Maybe, you know, as a mom, you're going, I want to model my mothering on these traits that I know come from God, and watch them grow. Because often you'll see, we talk about modeling for fathers. You know, somebody's had an absent father or a terrible father, and there was no father figure as a model for the behavior, how hard it is for that man to be a good father. It's the same with mothers. I see it in my own friends. You have some women grow up and their mother doesn't have a loving kindness and care towards them. There's a coldness. And they grow up not having that connection with their mother. And then they find it very hard. Well, it wasn't modeled for me. I don't know how to be a good mother to my daughter. And so I just want to say this morning that you can break those kinds of generational curses, because God is the ultimate perfect parent. The traits that God puts in a good mother are traits that come from God. And so this morning, if you feel like, do you know what? During this next time of worship, I'm just going to be in a quiet space before God, and I'm going to just chat to the Lord and ask him, help me to model myself as a mother, or when I become a mother, on the traits that I know come from you, godly traits. If you've grown up feeling hurt and wounded by the relationship that you had with your mother, and it's really hard for you to see what a kind mother's heart is like, this morning, come before God and recognize that the loving kindness of a good mother is a trait of God, and God has that nurturing care and kindness for you, because we both were made in his image and in his likeness. And with any positive traits or attributes that we have, they most definitely came from God and not from our own selves or our own strength. So I want to pray here now as we finish out this word. And I want you to remember there is going to be a prayer team as well. And if you do need prayer and you want someone to come alongside you and pray this morning about anything we've talked about, don't hesitate. Do receive prayer, because there's power in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning I want to thank you that you're not just my Heavenly Father. I want to thank you that we are made in your image. I want to thank you for being the perfect parent. And I want to thank you for your correction and your strength and protection and your love and your nurturing and your care, that you pull me under your wings like your little chick and snuggle me in under your wings like a mother hen, that you have a fierce protective love for me like a mother bear, And I thank you for that love and that kindness and for every good thing you pour on me, and not just me, on everybody here this morning. I just pray for the souls of everybody here, that if someone feels they have a gap, there's something missing in them because they have never connected with that truth, I just pray this morning that you will fill them with your truth, that you will show them your nature, your true nature, and that they will this morning feel a sense of peace, knowing that they are loved, nurtured, and cared for by you. And may we carry that forward and try and exemplify that when we go about our life and try and show, whether we're male or female, show those traits that you made, that you created, and be kind to people and have a balance in our nurturing spirit and our protective spirit. I just pray, Lord, that we will exemplify you as we go about our week this week and bring a nurturing love and kindness to those we meet. Father, I thank you that you are my all. I thank you that you are my everything, and you always will be. And we praise you this morning because you're worthy of all praise. Amen. Let's worship.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.